in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. Teach us tonight. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding. Help us to encounter you through your word, through your spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You are welcome to day 10 of our 14 days mid-year mega harvest fasting and prayer. Praise God. Me, I'm enjoying this. I don't know about, ask your neighbor how far. Praise God. Now, I told you, those of you that think 14 days is too long, I told you, you won't know when this thing has finished. Like joke, we just have barely 4 days to go. Barely 4 days, oh. Am I communicating? 4 days to go. Let me counsel you, let me advise you, make these remaining 4 days count. Yes, make it count. Get very serious. Am I communicating? Take it like a matter of life and death. Yes. Very important. Praise God. If you were serious before, become more serious. If you were unserious before, get serious. Am I communicating? We just have 4 days to go. And of course, the grand finale will be Sunday. And it's going to be smoky. I told you, I'm praying and anointing everybody. It's an instruction God gave me. Yes. We anoint everybody with oil. It's going to be a very, very powerful service. And also, the Lord says you should come with minimum of 7 what? Expectations. 7 things you want God to do for you for this remaining half of the year. 7 things you are trusting God for. 7 prayer requests. 7 petitions. Minimum. You can go more than 7. Praise God. Some people can even attach Fusca sheet. You know, exam. When you have exhausted the Fusca sheet they gave you. Excuse me, extra. You know, attach it. They'll tell you to attach it. You remember? Praise God. No problem. Even if you attach, God will meet all of them. Can you shout amen? See, I always say your problem is never bigger than God. Your problem can never be bigger than the power of God, except you don't know God. You see, some people, their problem is more real to them than the God that they claim to be serving. The power of God is not yet real to them. So they believe more in their problem than they believe in the power of God to solve it. Praise God. Where you run to, or who you run to for solution in the day of trouble, is a revelation of what you truly believe, where your confidence lies, what is truly real to you. Am I communicating? Encounters. We are looking at encounters with the Lord of the harvest. We started yesterday powerfully. Today will be part 2. Encounters with the Lord of the harvest. Luke 10 verse 2. Kito Borabala Kataya. Say the Holy Spirit is the Lord of the harvest. We are in partnership with Him to reap the mega harvest, because this is our season of supernatural harvest. Therefore said He, Jesus, unto them, the harvest truly is plenteous, is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He may what? Send forth. The Greek word great, the harvest truly is great. The Greek word great is the word megas, where you get the English word mega. Very large. Am I communicating? Huge. So, the harvest truly is mega. It's a mega harvest. It's about the laborers are few. There is need to recruit more laborers, to recruit and train and equip more laborers and release them into the harvest field of the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it's a job of the fivefold ministry gift to do that. The apostle, prophet, teachers, evangelists, pastors, their primary assignment is to train and to equip the saints, okay, who are the kingdom laborers. Am I communicating? And then release them to do the work of the ministry into the harvest field of the world, their sphere of contact. Praise God. Their workplaces, their career, occupation, etc. These are all mission fields. They are all mission fields. When we say mission field, it's not just village. Am I communicating? Every system of this world, every sector, every area of calling is a mission field. The media is a mission field. The political sector, politics, government is a mission field. Family is a mission field. The academic world is a mission field. Education is a mission field. Am I coming? Those seven mountains, medical field is a mission field. Science and technology is a mission field. Engineering world is a mission field. Am I communicating? Your workplace is a mission field. Your school, your institution is a mission field. God is saying that, pray ye to the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth more laborers. And of course, you and I were part of those laborers. Can you shout amen? You know, when we talk of the work of the ministry, many Christians don't understand. In their mind, they think that the pastors, apostle, prophet, and teachers and evangelists are the ones to do the work of the ministry. It's a big error. It's the saints that are to be trained, to be equipped and empowered. They are the ones to be trained, equipped and empowered by the fivefold ministry gift, what we call the pulpit ministers, so that the saints, after being trained, after being equipped, after being empowered, we now do the work of the ministry, reaching out to their world, their sphere of influence, their sphere of contact with the gospel, winning souls, discipling them. Am I communicating? Very important. So, stop waiting for your pastor to do the work of the ministry. You have to wake up and take up responsibility. Are you getting me? When Jesus said, go ye into all the world, out of that all the world is your world, is my world. Your world are those in your sphere of contact, your sphere of influence. All the people in your sphere of contact, the people you interact with on a daily basis, whether in real life or online, they make up your world. Your sphere of influence, those you have influence over, am I communicating? They make up your world. Reach out to them with the gospel. Reach out to them with the gospel. The job of the fivefold ministry is primarily like coaching job. You know the way coaches players and athletes? That's their primary job. Like, let me use football for instance, because it's like the most popular sport. Now look up. No matter how important a match is, can the coach enter and play for the players? For his players? So, you see, look up. If you get this illustration, you've gotten it. Doing the work of the ministry is like the players on the pitch playing the game, playing the football. Now, watch it. Before the match, before the match, the coach normally trains the players, he equips them. Every single thing they need to win the match, he gives it to them. Am I communicating? All the tactics, all the strategy, he trains them, he subjects them to rigorous exercise and training and all of that. He can show them how to shoot during the training process, right? How to position themselves, how to mark out maybe a star player in the opponent side that they are about to face. He teaches them all of that. But once the match have started, the coach will be outside. If he's crossing the line too much, they will show him red card, a yellow card. Don't you see the referee? If the coach, maybe out of emotional outburst, the players are not playing according to specification, and they are about to lose the match now, the coach will start shouting, emotional outburst. Before you know, he has forgotten that he's not supposed to enter the pitch. You see the ref will rush and come and show him yellow card. In fact, initially they will warn him. If he does it again, yellow card. If he does it again, red card. He will be out of that whole place. He will go and be watching through screen inside. He's not permitted to enter. So it's up to the players. Will they apply the things they taught them? Will they play according to the coach's specification? It's up to them. If they apply those things well, follow instruction, they win. Or else they lose. So most of the times, see how believers think. When they hear doing the work of the ministry, they are expecting only fivefold to do it. It's like expecting your coach to enter the pitch and wear boot and come and play for you. You are the one, let me tell your neighbor, you are the player on the field. Just like the player on the field is expected to play the game very well, play his role very well, and win that match, that is how you are expected to do the work of the ministry. Very important. Praise God. So you have to take responsibilities. Your business is a platform. Your job is... You are not just there to earn salary. You are not just working to earn salary. That's not the main purpose why God gave you that job. Your occupation, your career. You are not... Listen. I know you think that your main purpose of being in school is to read book and get BSc or MSc or which one again, MBBS, etc. That's not the highest purpose, though. The day God had mission, God got excited because he knows that through you is going to what? Reach out to the world of the lost. You understand? Even your education, your school is a platform to do the work of the ministry. I'm not saying don't read your book. I'm not saying don't do your business. But I'm saying that understand that there is a higher calling. Understand that there is a ministry God have entrusted to you. It's called the Ministry of Reconciliation. You have a higher calling to do the work of the ministry. Those things are platform. You being in UNIJOS or Plapoli or any university or any institution is a platform for you to do the work of the ministry. You are strategically positioned there to do the work of the ministry. Your business is a platform to do the work of the ministry. Your career, your job, etc. Are you getting me? Unfortunately, many believers, they lose sight of this fact. And they join the rat race of life like unbelievers who don't know God. Praise God. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth more laborers into his harvest field. See, the way we are raising you here, we are training you so that you will be effective kingdom ambassadors. praise God, so that he can represent Christ and his kingdom. Hence the need for a series like this, Encounters with the Lord of the Harvest. Because for you to represent Christ very well on earth, for you to be his ambassador and represent him very well on earth, then you must know him. You must know him. Paul cried, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. It didn't say that I may know about him. You know, it's one thing to know about God. It's another thing to know God in reality. To know God truly. Am I communicating? You know, if you know just about somebody and then you hear that the person, you heard that the person did this or did that, you may not be sure whether he actually did it or not, because all you know is about the person. Or if you know somebody intimately, you know somebody one-on-one, as in you know the person truly, you know the person in reality, you can vouch that this person cannot do such a thing. Why? Because conviction. You will have conviction. And I say you know God through encounters. Job chapter 42 verse 5. Job said, I have heard of thee through the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see thee. I have heard of thee. Many Christians have heard about God. Many Christians know about God. Many Christians are still playing religion. They only know about God, doing from Sunday to Sunday, but they live as if God does not exist. Why? Because they've not met him. They don't really know him. They've not encountered that God. Are you listening? I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see thee. Nobody doubt what this is. Have I communicated? Listen. The reason why a lot of Christians, their faith is weak, is because they don't know God yet. They only know about him, head knowledge. They've never encountered God. When you encounter God, your faith will come alive. Am I communicating? When you get to know God in reality, I'm telling you, every doubt will clear off from your mind. Your faith will spark up your faith. Your faith becomes living faith. We say an encounter is a striking supernatural experience that crystallizes and concretizes the reality concerning someone or something. So when you encounter God, I'm telling you, your conviction about him becomes rock solid. It becomes concretized. You know the way concrete they set? Rock solid. Nothing can shake it. Do you know why many Christians, they have vacillating conviction? Today they believe this, tomorrow you understand, their belief about God just keeps changing like this. It's because they have not yet encountered God. They have not yet known him through encounters. One encounter, I'm telling you, it will clear every doubt, unbelief, all those things. Many Christians are falling away from the faith because they've only been hearing about God. They've never known God in reality. He said, for the people, Daniel 11:32, for the people, look at this category of people, for the people that do know their God, not those that know about their God, the people that do know their God in reality, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. And I showed you yesterday that knowledge there is no head knowledge. That knowledge there is not CRK, Christian religious knowledge. That knowledge there is the Hebrew word yada. And it's the same word used when the Bible says Adam knew his wife. So it's talking of intercourse, deep acquaintance, intimate knowledge, the kind of knowledge that comes through intimacy with him. Am I communicating? Kaliborakata. It makes your conviction rock solid. Even if the whole world is convulsing, it doesn't shake your conviction. Your faith becomes unshakable. Am I communicating? The reason why many Christians, they don't pray, is because God is not yet revealed to them. See, let me tell you the truth. If you come to know this God in reality, prayer will become a delight. That's the truth. Why are many Christians still having struggling prayer life or zero prayer life? It's because God is not yet real to them. That's the truth. If God is real to you, you'll be drinking prayer like water. The reason why many Christians, the Bible is still like storybook to them. The Bible looks boring. In fact, many don't even read their Bible. They only use it for decoration on the shelf in their house. Why is the Bible this boring to them? It's because they don't know God yet. They've not met him. They've not encountered him. They've not known him through revelation. They've not had experiential knowledge of God. I say you get to know God through encounters. Encounters come from the Holy Spirit. Encounters come from the Word of God. We'll go into details later. Are you getting me? Listen, when you know God experientially through encounters, this will be the most exciting book to you, this Bible. For many Christians, they enjoy novels, they enjoy other forms of literature. It's still more exciting to them than the Word of God, than the Bible, because they don't know God yet. They've not met him. They've not encountered him yet. So the Bible is not a delight. Why are many Christians not winning souls? See, let me tell you the truth. If you truly know God in reality, you'll be crying every day for the condition of lost souls, and you will be on your toe winning them. Are you getting me? Have you not heard of the story of a notorious armed robber? Very notorious armed robber that was about to be killed by firing squad. They finally caught him. And then usually they call priest to come and pray for them. Orthodox priest, either Catholic priest or Anglican. They carry Bible and then they come and pray in order to lead them to Christ before they die. People like that. So the priest then came, read a portion of scripture, and then he was now preaching to the armed robber, telling about Jesus. And then he asked him whether he wants to give his life to Christ. The guy said no. He said why? He said because he doesn't believe what he's saying. He then looked at the priest. He said, if truly what you are preaching is true, he said, even if they put bottle on the ground everywhere, he said, you will crawl on it to go and preach to sinners to accept Jesus. If truly this salvation that you are preaching, that Jesus is the savior of the world, he has paid the price with his blood. He said, even if it means to march, as in you are kneeling like this, on bottles to go and preach this gospel to all sinners to get saved, he said, you will do it. The priest was just preaching dry, everything dry, because is a theoretical God to the priest. Is not yet real. That God, you see, we are not winning souls. This is the main problem. God is not yet real to us. We just read in our Bible that Jesus is the Savior of the world. He has paid the price. Is it real to you? Is it really? Are you aware? Are you aware that anybody that dies without giving his life to Christ is forever damned? Do you know where they are going? Has that truth dawned on you yet? If it has dawned on you, you will win souls. So, Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Many believers are not passionate soul winners because they don't know God yet in reality. All they have is still theoretical knowledge of God, not experiential knowledge of Him. When you fellowship with this God, His heartbeat will become your heartbeat. And what is God's heartbeat? Salvation of souls. That's His number one job and business. The people that do know their God, they shall be strong. There is this confidence, there is this conviction, there is this boldness, there is this audacity that comes when you know God by revelation, when you know God experientially. Let me ask you a question. Okay, before I ask you that question, let me tell you something. Have you heard of this book, Da Vinci Code? Who has heard of Da Vinci Code? They even did movie on it. Do you know, in US, when they released that book, okay, let me just say something small about the book. It's like an Antichrist book. The book contains Satan really used that book to deceive people, and a lot of Christians in America, they lost their faith, and across the world. Listen, the book, how do I put it now? The book seems to say that, no, not seems to. What the book said, among other things, was that Jesus had an affair with Mary Magdalene during his earthwork. That he fell in love with Mary Magdalene, and he impregnated her. Jesus, your Jesus. No, I'm just trying to give you. So that though Jesus later died and all of that, but Jesus had a child. Mary Magdalene had a child for him. And that they are even tracing the lineage of Jesus from that child self. All those kind of cock and bull stories. But let me, now, here is the surprise. Do you know that when that book and the movie was released, it shook many Christians, it shook their faith. Because the book looks so convincing, they will give you evidence upon evidence, human evidence. You understand? It looks so convincing. And they were able to convince so many Christians that it was so. So many Christians, they left the faith. It's as if Christianity is a scam. Now, here is my worry. Why did that happen? Why was it possible for those Christians to lose their faith and fall away because of that book, because of that movie? The answer is simple: because they don't know God. They don't know Jesus. They only know about Him. All they have had is religion. You see the danger of religion. This is the problem with religion. Religion presents to you a theoretical God. But God desires a real relationship with you. He wants you to know Him experientially. Am I communicating? He wants you to know Him in reality. What people need, Christians need, is reality, not religion. Religion is the reason why many Christians are backsliding every day. I'll give you another example. Alice Bailey. How many of you have heard of Alice Bailey? Go and Google about Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey was a Christian initially. She was a Christian, but a religious one. Goes to church. Then she was faced with crisis. Storms of life hit her. She was a married woman with children. Married. Her husband died of a disease. I don't know whether it's cancer or something. When the husband was sick in the hospital, they cried, prayed religiously to God, and God seems to pay deaf ears to their prayer. Then the husband died. She was poor, problems everywhere. Then she got angry. She said, "This God is a scam. It's not real." She left Christianity. In her quest, in search for answers, she had an encounter with a demonic prince who masqueraded as a master, like dressed in this Tibetan attire. You know Tibet? This is a Tibetan, this thing like that attire. The master will appear to her and then start telling her things. She ended up, listen, this woman, she ended up writing a lot of metaphysical books, a lot of mystical books, demonic books. You understand? She started, listen, this woman, Satan have used her to cause a lot of havoc that the world is still suffering from. It was part of her philosophies and ideologies from her books and write-up that United Nations have adopted. This woman is the reason why divorce rate skyrocketed in the world. She became a strong proponent for divorce and abortion. Anybody that is pregnant have right whether the baby should remain or to come out. That's the mother has the right. Whatever she wants to do with her body, is it not her baby? Is it not her body? She can choose to remove it now. A lot of this feminist movement today that you see that are against the word of God, she's the brain behind it. She was the one that encouraged them to remove Bible from schools. Is Christianity the only religion? Why are there Bible in school? Why are they doing the Lord's Prayer? It was part of our philosophies. I can go on and on to tell you the things that have come from that demonic encounter. Now, why did she leave the faith? Why did she ended up saying God does not exist? The answer is simple. All she had initially was religion. She was a religious Christian. She never knew God. Encounters with God will concretize your conviction. So that it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter the challenge, the problem you go through. Job said, "I know my Redeemer liveth." He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Are you listening? Nothing can shake your faith. Nothing. God is still God before your problem came. God is God in the middle of your problem. In the midst of it, he is still God. After your problem, he will ever remain God. Nothing you pass through will change your conviction when you know him. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Are you listening? Let me ask you a question. Please help me mention all the most powerful men of God that you know in history and currently. Let's mention them. Talk to me now. Most anointed men of God you know in history until today. Smith Wigglesworth, Catherine Kuhlman, let's go. Yonggi Cho, yes. Kennedy again, Oral Robot. William Branham, A. Allen, Alexander Dowie, yes, Catherine Kuma, we've mentioned that, Maria Woodward Hita, You know, and I never have mentioned Nigeria, Apostle Babalola, Archbishop Idahosa, Mention our own now, Pastor Ye Adeboye, mention, no, remove me for this example I'm about to make. Let's mention, continue, Pastor Chris, Bishop Oyedepo, let's be mentioning now, Dr. Paul Enetje. Now listen, if all these men of God decide, dead and alive, decide to hold conference call, and then tell you that, Kai, this God we preach to you, na scam, that we are not sure, in fact, it is a lie. They come and refute everything, those things you read in their books, all those things you heard in their message, they come and tell you that it's a lie. My question is, will your faith be affected or not? Let me tell you the truth. If you don't know God, your faith will be affected. You may even backslide. But if you know this God by encounters, nothing spoiled. Paul said, I know him whom I have what? Believe. Do you know the person you have believed? Can the problems of life change your belief about him? I know him whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. I told you to remove my name. You now see why I say don't add my name to the list. Because I know that nothing will make me to do such kind of thing. Now, with due respect to all of them, it's an example. It's just a scenario. I just said that to explain an important point. Are you getting my point? You need to know God for yourself. Know God for yourself. Am I communicating? If you study the patriarchs in the Old Testament, you will realize these men always building altars here and there after they have encountered God as a memorial. Even the place they encounter God, they will erect an altar. And then they will give God a name based on their encounter with him. Because each encounter with God reveals a unique dimension of God. We say God reveals himself to us dimensionally. Am I communicating? Okay, give me Exodus chapter 6, verse 2. Look at what God told Moses. He said, and God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. That's okay, verse 3. Watch this. He said, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob by the name God Almighty. That's El Shaddai. This was the dimension of God that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew. El Shaddai. This was the dimension of God they knew by encounters. Am I communicating? But that was not all about God. Watch this. God then said, by the name I appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by the name God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And now this is the dimension God is now appearing to Moses. God is revealing himself as Jehovah to Moses. Why? Because his assignment needed him to encounter God in this dimension. Are you listening? If you don't know God, you cannot fulfill your divine purpose, calling and destiny. Impossible. How can you even represent the God that you don't know? You only know about. Is this the reason why our faith is so weak? Is it the reason why Christians, they compromise so much? Because they don't know God yet. See, if you know God, you will stop sinning. You will stop living in sin. You stop living in fornication. If you really know this God, I'm telling you the truth, you will not compromise. Your faith will not be weak. You will not be full of doubt or unbelief. You won't doubt your prayer. Prayer becomes a delight. His word becomes a delight. Serving God will become a delight when you know Him in reality. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. That's what happens when you encounter God. You become fully persuaded about Him. Nothing can shake your conviction. Nothing can make you, not even at gunpoint, you can't deny Him. Even at gunpoint. I told you about the martyrs. They would rather die than to deny or renounce Christ, because they have come to know Him in reality. Are you listening? They know He is real. It's not theory. Job said, I have known you by the hearing of the ear. Now my eyes see you. Paul was playing religion until on the road to Damascus, he encountered Jesus. He was a religious zealot. What's the religion of the Jews? Judaism. That was what he was practicing. A very aggressive one. He was a zealot, exceedingly zealous for the tradition of his father. He said he was a Pharisee. He said he was so an Hebrew of Hebrew. Look at the titles. Oh, should I show you? Okay. Help me with Philippians 3 verse 5. Look at Paul's CV. Circumcised on the eighth day. Of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews. Do you know the meaning of that word? An Hebrew of Hebrews. As in original. Original Hebrew. Do you know? Of all the sons of Jacob, how many sons did Jacob have? 12. The only one that was born, that was given birth to in the promised land, was Benjamin. Benjamin was the only one given birth to in the promised land. All the other 11 were not born in the promised land. So when Paul said, I came from the tribe of Benjamin. I'm an Hebrew of, you know, now we be Onile. You know what they call Onile? Original one. Are you getting me? As touching the law, a Pharisee. I've told you about the life for you to become a Pharisee. You must know the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Hof Art. You chant it like this. And you must fast twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. How many Christians can even meet up those requirements? The Pharisee that you are laughing at. If you know the kind of strict discipline in training them. Paul said, I was a Pharisee. These were his CV. You will read the law, the Torah, and all of that. Yet, he did not know God. He didn't know Jesus. He was playing religion. Even a religious leader, a Pharisee. Next verse. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Do you know that he thought that he was trying to do God a favor? Do you know he said he was exceedingly zealous for the tradition of his fathers? There is this other religion that they kill for their God. They are killing Christians. In their mind, they think they are doing God service. That was how Paul too was. So he thought that persecuting the church, he was doing God service. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. What? Oh, let's move on. Don't have time to start explaining this one. See, keeping the law, there is a mark that you will reach that they will score you blameless. Paul reached that mark. Next verse. But what things which were gained to me, this I counted for the loss of for Christ. You see, he said, compared to Christ, all these things are nothing. Next verse. He says, yeah, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. You know dung? You know dung? Do you know dung? The poo-poo of what? Cow. Paul said, compared to the knowledge of God, all those things, poo-poo, that I may win Christ. Next verse. He said, and be found in him, oh, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ Jesus, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10. He then cried out, that I may know him. This was after he had preached the gospel, planted so many churches, saw so many miracles, signs and wonders, supernatural manifestation. Yet, look at his heart cry, that I may know him. The more you know God, the more you want to know about him. The more you want to know him in reality, not just about him. Exodus 33. Verse 12. Look at the cry of another giant in the Old Testament called Moses. Moses. Okay. Go back. Give me verse 10 also. Yeah. 10. Go back 10. Look at Moses. Oh. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar at the tabernacle door. All the people rose up and worshiped. Every man in his tent door. Verse 11. Watch this. The Lord appeared in a cloudy pillar. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, fusca to fusca. How do you say it in your language? Face to face. You understand? God spake, watch this. God spake to Moses as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, young man, departed now out of the tabernacle. Verse 12. This is where I'm going. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up these people that thou hast not let me know when thou will send with me. He said, yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Verse 13. Watch this. He says, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. God made known, because Moses prayed that God should show him his way. That I may know thee. That I may find grace in thy sight. You can't know him and lack grace. Impossible. And consider this. Look at this. It says, show me your way that I may know you. Oh, I thought we just read that God spoke to him face to face. Are you listening? This is Moses. The Jews consider Moses the greatest prophet apart from Jesus. The greatest prophet in terms of miracle signs and all manner of miraculous things Moses did. They believe Moses is the greatest man that ever lived in Jewish history outside of Jesus. Yet, look at his cry. This is somebody God just spoke to face. The glory of God came in a cloudy pillar, yet he said that I may know you. Oh. He said, show me your way. I said, the more you know God, the more you will want to know him in reality. He reveals himself to us dimensionally. He reveals himself to us progressively. Kelabakasaya. Ambrakata, Skoparakata. Have you heard of George Washington Carver? It's a black scientist in America. George Washington Carver. This guy, he made 360 inventions from soyabean seed. A believer. He's a believer. Soyabeans what? Seed. The seed of soyabeans. He made 300, discovered 360 inventions, including creams, ceramics, so many. Go and Google about him. You see, 360 degree. How did it come about that? He will carry the soybean seed. He will go before God in prayer. He will say, Father, help me to see this seed the way you see them. Help me to see this, not with the way human beings see them, not with natural eyes. Help me to see this seed the way you see them when you created it. And revelation will start coming. These are men that knew God. So, when we say no God, it's not only men of God. It doesn't matter whether you are a scientist, whether you are a media person, whether you are in government. Look at Daniel. Daniel was a politician. It was his intimacy with God. He became so intimate with God. And you can't be intimate like that and not be prophetic. He busted into the prophetic. So that today, when you are counting prophets, you count Daniel. In fact, you can't teach about Bible prophecy without the book of Daniel. Or eschatology without the book of Daniel. Impossible. How did he get to that point? Somebody called to the mountain of politics and governance. An excellent administrator, because he was so intimate with God. He knew God. He was the one that wrote, the people that do know their God, because he himself knew his God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploit. So the reverse is also true. The people that do not know their God, the people that are ignorant of their God, they shall be weak and they shall be exploited by humans and demons. Are you listening? Why? See. Do you know why many Christians are afraid of the devil? They don't know God. I'm telling you the truth. You can't know God and fear devils. Child, I hear the story of Smith Wigglesworth. The guy was hearing one noise in the down floor of his house. Rackety, rackety, rackety. You know, sir? He carried light. Those days there was no electricity. He carried light, lantern to go and check. And he saw a devil seated. Are you getting me? On his reading chair. He saw a devil, as in devil. He then looked very well. He said, oh, Satan, you are even the one. He said, if I had known you were the one, I won't bother to come down. He off the light. He went back. Entered his bedroom, slept on his bed, and he didn't even lock the door to the bedroom. Hi, I'm sure the devil cried that day. These are men that know God. Not theoretically. They know him experientially. Through encounters and revelation. You can't know God and fear devil. The afraid Christian is too fearful. Hi. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Yet you will see a demon-possessed man, madman on the road, and you go change road for him. You don't know the God that you carry. That's the truth. We should slap you. Oh, the madman is possessed by demons. You are possessed by the Holy Spirit. Who is greater? Who should leave road for the other? But why is the reverse the case for many Christians? Shall I tell you the truth? It's only head knowledge you have. It's not yet real to you. That truth has no down on you. Sit with the word of God. Are you getting me? What about Lester Sumrall? Another great man. Now listen. These are men that knew God. Lester Sumrall, he talked about his exploit in Philippines. In Manila, Philippines. Now, Lester Sumrall casted out demon from a major demon possessed person that everybody knew, a girl that was possessed by a very strong demon. She would be cutting herself and all of that. Almost everybody in the country knew her case. And he went and delivered, casted out the demon and all of that. So that day he went home. He was sleeping on the bed. And then he started hearing. Mm-hmm. One demonic wind just start blowing everything in his bedroom. Things were falling, things on the wall, and his bed. The demonic wind even moved him and the bed from where it was, original location, and moved it somewhere and scattered the room. And Lester Sombra was wondering, what's happening like this? He sensed a demonic presence. He then got inside information from the Holy Spirit that, oh, it was that demon he casted out to from that girl. A demon is coming to do drama. He then commanded, he used his authority. He knew God, he knew his authority, he knew who he was in Christ. I pity you if you don't know who you are in Christ. He commanded the demon to get out of his room and for the wind to cease, and in a split second, pew, everything ended. The demon checked out, the wind, demonic wind ended, and everything. No more, nothing like that. Those demonic sound. And then he was still on his bed, though. He said, what? He said, this is not the position I slept. He said, who will rearrange the bed for the demon that moved it here, that scattered my room? He said, devil, come back. So this is not the position I put my bed. He command, see, listen, I'm telling you, real life story. Listen, he commanded the demon to put the bed back. The demonic wind came back, moved the thing, arranged everything in the house, and then left. So, now me go clean rubbish. Let me the one to clean up Satan's mess. These are men that knew God. Our Christian faith is weak because we don't know God. I'm telling you the truth. Kalido Barakatai. Ibreketeketekete. One day I was going to work in Ola Hospital. A madman cross road came. He knelt down like this. Knelt down before me. People were watching. I was in a hurry. No time. I was late for work. Are you getting me? You need to know this God. Stop playing religion. It will not help you. In fact, you may curse God later when problems come. Why is it that Job's wife said he should curse God? Because she does not know God. She only knew about him. Now, problems of life have hit. War richest man have been reduced to zero because of demonic attack. Now, that's not even the worst. He is plagued with boil from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. He has lost all his children. All of them died in one day. His wife said, what are you still waiting for? Curse God and die. But Job said, you are speaking like one of these foolish women. She does not know God. Many Christians end up cursing God when the problem of life hit them. When demonic attack come. Why? Because they don't know him. They've never met him. They've never encountered him. They are only playing religion. How do you encounter God? Right. Okay. Before then, let's look at this one. Two types of divine encounters. We say divine encounters can be divine or demonic. Two types of divine encounters. Number one, word encounters. Word encounters. Divine encounters, right? Number one, I'll end here. Word, what? Word encounters. These are the two types. Word encounters. Give me 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 21. Word encounters. Word encounters. Word encounters. 1 Samuel 3:21. Watch this. The Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself. How did he reveal himself? He revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. How did God reveal himself to Samuel? By the word of the Lord. This is what we call encountering God through his word. This is the principal way we encounter God. It makes the scriptures to come alive. Am I communicating? The Holy Ghost quickens the word. Suddenly it comes alive. It ceases to be a dry storybook. It comes alive. Are you getting me? John chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. God and his word are one and the same thing. So a real encounter with the word of God is an encounter with God. He said, the word I speak, John 6:63, to you, they are spirit and they are life. They are spiritual life-giving forces. The word of God carries the life of God. The word of God carries the spirit of God. Ezekiel 2:2, and the spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and I heard him that spake to me. That is a word encounter. Palatizo brakataya. Acts 10:44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard him, and they got filled with the Holy Ghost. Am I communicating? Hebrews 4 verse 12. He said, the word of God is alive, is quick. Give me this amplified version. The word of God, that word quick means alive. In fact, Moffat's translation said the word of God is a living thing. The word of God is a living thing, is a person. The word of God, I've taught you before, though the word of God has principles of God, it contains prophecies, it contains promises, processes of God, patterns of his operation, it contains all of that. But the highest revelation is the word of God equals to God. The word of God is the personality of God, is a person, is God himself. That's the highest revelation. Are you listening? So, and the word of God is a living thing. What's the living thing? God himself. So, when you encounter that living thing, call God himself, equals encounter with the word when it comes to you. Are you listening? May God open your eyes to revelations. Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus that God will grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, insight into mysteries and secrets. Paul said, this preaching I'm preaching to you, I didn't learn it from anywhere. I didn't learn it from any theology school. Though it was a Pharisee, he said, I received it by revelation. Are you listening? Hebrews 4:12 amplified. The word of God, the word that God speaks, aya, is alive. He's talking of rhema. The word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, effective. My God, are you seeing this? The word of God is a real person. It's God himself. And this is the primary way we encounter God, through his word. God revealed himself to us through his word. May the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may see God in the pages of scriptures. That you will see Jesus in the pages of scriptures. On the road to Emmaus, Luke 24. On the road to Emmaus, there were two disciples, Cleopas and the other colleague. My Bible scholars believe his husband and wife. Now listen, that was after Jesus resurrected. They were talking about the things that happened, and Jesus appeared, was walking with them. They didn't recognize him. They were just things. Have you not been reading Jerusalem newspaper, Times? Say the things that are happening. There's this great prophet, mighty in word and deed, Jesus, that we thought he would be the savior. He has died and he was buried. And some people are carrying rumor that he has resurrected. They were talking like that. They didn't know it was Jesus with them until they were about to enter their house. And then Jesus appeared as if he was going further. Then they constrained him. He should come and eat bread. And he took the communion element. He took bread, broke it, gave them. The moment he served them communion, their eyes were open. They recognized him. He vanished out of their sight. Then they say, what? So that was the Jesus. He said, look at what they said. Did not our heart burn when he spake to us? Now, I want you to see something powerful. Jesus was with them. Oh, hey, if you are sleeping, wake up. I'm about to show you something very powerful. Very powerful. Luke 24. Huh? Now, watch this. Verse 15. And it came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. Okay? Then jump to verse 25. Give me 25. Look at what Jesus told them. Then he said unto them, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? This is Jesus speaking to them. And beginning at Moses, look at 27 very well. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Can you see something there? Okay, now, after Jesus gave them communion, they broke bread, they recognized him, he vanished out of their sight. Look at this. I need two people. Please, two people. Okay, two of you, come. Let me say, I am Jesus. These are the two disciples, Cleopas and his other colleague. Some say it's his wife. Couples. Okay, two of you are be moving and be just. Yeah. Okay, let's be talking now. All of us are talking. Then, now, is this not Jesus with them? Yet, the Bible says, beginning at what? Moses, that's the law. Eh? And all the prophets, the books of the prophets, he explained to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Jesus appeared to them, yet he pointed them to scriptures and started revealing himself to them through the scriptures. What does it show you? Listen. That's God's preference. God's preferential way. Jesus' preferential way of you encountering him is through his word. Go and sit down. Jesus prefers that you get to know him through his word than even him appearing to you in a vision. Are you getting something? He prefers the first one. That's you getting to know and encounter him through his word. That was why Jesus pointed them to the word. He didn't say, Una de grace. Now me be the Jesus. Can't you see? Look at my hand. Look, you understand? No. He preferred to point them to the word because this one cannot fail. Demons can masquerade as Jesus and appear to you. And it has happened to many Christians. Some say, when Jesus appeared to them and gave them a different Bible, say, that one they are using is fake. This is the real one. And they are the only one reading this one. Deception. And when they ask the being, he even resembled Jesus in Jesus' movie. He said, I am Jesus. Some say Jesus appeared and tell them, don't stop going to church. Say, church is Babylon. Now, start staying at home. Start your own order. A new order. A new order of the Christos. I can't show you the second point today. We'll stop here. But don't miss tomorrow. Listen. all other spectacular encounters, you use the word of God as a yardstick to judge them. Are you getting me? You can have spectacular encounters. I'll talk about that tomorrow. But the problem is that demons can masquerade that one too. So you need discernment. You need to know how to use the word of God to discern correctly. You need to develop your spirit, your ability to discern divine from demonic encounters. Because some people say Jesus appeared to them, but the fruit of those encounters have scattered marriages, have scattered churches, have even made a lot of people to go to hell. A woman once said, she saw God the Father got angry from the throne. He told Angel Michael, blow the trumpet. And then Jesus knelt down, Father, please. Give more time. Say, if you blow it now, only 3 people will make heaven in Nigeria. If you blow it now, only 3 people will make heaven. Are you getting? See, use the word of God as the yardstick, the written word. Another person said he had an encounter. That he went to Jesus told him that if trumpets should sound now, that even Pastor Iya Adeboye will not make heaven. Dr. Paul and Encha, all of them. You know, some people say they had encounter, they went to hell. They saw Archbishop Idahosa. They saw this. My problem is, listen. Why don't they see people like Adolf Hitler in hell? They don't see Anini in hell. Now, listen. They don't see, what's the name of this guy now? All these, Idi Amin. They don't see those people in hell. Osama Bin Laden. They did not see his Archbishop Idahosa that they see. Haba. And there are Christians that have believed them. Some pastor even invited them for crusade. There was one popular lady one time like that. Scattered marriages, caused problem between husband and wife, all manner of things. The Bible says we should judge those things. You judge those spectacular encounters. Are you getting me? If it's not in line with the word of God, throw away the thing. If they cannot prove it from Bible, don't believe them. So that you don't fall victim to demonic deception. Because Satan is a deceiver. The number one way Jesus prefers that you encounter him and get to know him is through his word. I know by God's sovereignty and prerogative, or maybe your spiritual hunger, you may have visionary encounters with Jesus. You've heard some men of God say that. It's great. But it doesn't make them more spiritual than you. The problem is when they are now wearing it as a badge of spiritual superiority. That's the problem. So you now, when you hear them talking, say, Jesus never appeared to us. we still dey learn work. We don't even know anything. That's the problem. In fact, Jesus prefers that you get to know him here. Are you getting me? That's the truth. If the other spectacular encounter Jesus appeared to happen, it's great. But even if it not happen, no problem. Are you getting me? Rise to your feet. We'll stop here. We'll continue tomorrow. Tomorrow, I will show you how to differentiate genuine divine encounters from demonic encounters. So that you don't get deceived. Are you getting me? Word encounters. The word of the Lord, which Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. May your eyes, I want you to pray, Father, let my eyes be anointed with eye salves to see you in the pages of scriptures. Let scales fall off my eyes. Let the eyes of my understanding be enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of my calling, that I may know. Shaligo barakata, zoom frekete. Help me to encounter you through the pages of scriptures. Kala yeko bose pele nesu, ambrakata katai. Job said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see thee. Andrato sepo, akabakute kepa, rakabakonde prekete. Shalabagabagadea, rotikila fratatani. Philippians 3:10, Amplified Version. Paul said that I may become deeply acquainted, that I may know you progressively, that I may know you intimately, that I may become progressively more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. Encounters bet convictions. Encounters concretizes convictions. They build your faith. Our faith will become stronger. Makele boko seketeke barakatai. Randegebo, when you know this God, you will not doubt him. When you know this God, you will not be a victim of doubt, unbelief. When you know this God in reality, every form of fear will vanish. This is the cure for fear. You will fear no man, you will fear no devil. When you know this God, you will command exploit. When you know this God, prayer becomes a delight. When you know this God, his word will be your daily delight. When you know this God, nobody will beg you to win souls. When you know this God, serving him will become your lifestyle, will become your exciting. When you know this God, nobody can talk you out of it. No devil can talk you out of it. No man, no woman can talk you out of it. For the people that do know their God, they shall be strong. They shall do exploit. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you. Receive a baptism of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I release grace to know God, grace for intimacy with God, grace to become progressively deeply acquainted with him. As you study the Bible, as you meditate on the word, receive grace to encounter God. Receive grace to receive revelations. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare every scale that has blocked your eyes from seeing the reality of God from the pages of scripture, every scale that has blocked your eyes from seeing revelations and visions of God from his word, I command those scales to drop off your eyes. I decree your eyes, let it be anointed with eyes of now, that you may see clearly in the name of Jesus. I baptize you with fresh hunger, fresh passion, fresh zeal for God and His word. In the name of Jesus, go from strength to strength. He said, the people that don't know their God, they shall be strong and do exploits. Receive a supernatural impartation of the spirit of might and strength to command and do exploits in the name of Jesus. Go from glory to glory. He said, we all beholding as in a mirror the glory of God. And that mirror there is the word of God. He said, we behold His glory in His word. Using the mirror of His word, we behold His glory. And when we do that, we are supernaturally changed. We are transmogrified. We are metamorphosed. We are transformed from glory to glory to glory. I decree and declare, as you behold Him in His word, as you behold the glory of God in the word of God, receive grace for supernatural change of levels. You are moving from glory to glory. New dimensions of His glory is being unveiled to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. You are preserved. You are kept by the power of God. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You are surrounded with favor like as with a shield. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. God bless you.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Zaglon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.